Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. You either tuned in or tuned out, but last night's debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump left plenty for South Dakotans to talk about. Here with a recap is Michael Card. He's with the University of South Dakota's Political Science Department. Michael Card, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Lori. I'm pleased to be here.
So let's start with what the candidates' goals are going to be going into this first debate of the season.
Well, I think that the goals for Donald Trump were to appear presidential, and I think the primary goal for Hillary Clinton was to show that she's a warm person.
Are they looking for, is it important for them to win in sort of the, you know, social media sphere, or regular media? Are they trying to get certain voters to change their minds, or are they just trying to hold, you know,
I think to a large extent they're hoping to hold the base is the primary goal, and perhaps for these two individuals, since they have such high negatives about both of them, they're trying to give the undecided voters a reason that they might consider them to be legitimate.
All right. So let's just start with how they did. You want to start with one or the other, or do an overall?
Well,
how do you unpack that night? Because it was pretty... I thought it was pretty dramatic at times.
I was first amazed by the number of debate drinking game emails that I received from my friends that had certain code words that each one would use, and you were supposedly drinking, a sip of coffee or something like that if you heard those code words.
What were the code words?
Well, they were family and... I should have written them down. Togetherness, yeah. versus... ISIS and attacking our borders and jobs were code words, I think, intended that, you know, the joke was mimicking reality, and that these were words that they would try to use to attract their base and to solidify their position. You know, most of us look for information that we already believe, and we don't hear very well information that disconfirms our previous belief. And there are a few undecided voters out there that will prove to be quite important in the election these next 43 days, because they're going to make the difference when the polls are basically within the statistical margin of error, meaning we don't really know whether we know they're tied effectively.
Right. How about Ronald Reagan? That could have been something that you took a few sips of your coffee for. Donald Trump, I think at least three times, sort of invoked the name of Ronald Reagan. What's that all about?
I think that's appealing to the Republican base and the conservative base.
Right. How did he do it appearing presidential?
I think he held his own for about the first half hour, and then, as my children would say, he lost it. I think he gave some rambling odes where he was just trying to get some of those code words out that would activate the base, and I couldn't find any coherency in much of them.
Let's talk about that first half hour when he was at his best. What was his message that really came through strongly during the peak of his success during
the
debate?
Well, that's what I call his success. I'm not sure that I'm...
Compared to how he did for the whole debate, his most successful time was his first 20 minutes.
I think it was his first 20 minutes to 30 minutes. I think what he was doing was he was talking about jobs. He was using familiar themes to conservatives that we need to cut taxes, we need to reduce regulation. And I think he was strongly on point on the things that he wanted to get across.
And how about Hillary Clinton then? Did she build throughout the debate? Was she weak starting out and got stronger, or was she solid throughout the whole evening?
I guess I viewed the turning point when she started to discuss the how much money Donald Trump received from his father to start his business. And, you know, she said $14 million, and Mr. Trump identified that it was only $1 million. And
he called it a small loan.
A small loan.
He did call it a small loan,
yes,
during that time. So she kind of invoked his father fairly early. What's her strategy there of really talking about Trump's dad?
Well, I'm not a psychologist, but I'd figure there's something going on there with the belief that if you can get Donald Trump on the defensive, that he'll either try to attack back, which is sort of a counterpunch strategy, but to hit back hard. And he's even said that was his strategy. And I think that's what she was going for, was to find a point about which he would feel some sense of weakness or insecurity. Mm-hmm. And I think being set up in business is what she was trying to get, and there may be some insecurity there.
So what's her overall message then for the night? What were her code words that we heard again and again most effectively?
I think they were in her opening statement, and those were phrases talking about building up the middle class and effectively getting what she would call the wealthy to pay their fair share. I think she threw in free college tuition mm-hmm. and a number of other things to try to attract members of her base. She also did speak about some other topics such as equal treatment before the law that seems mm-hmm. to be quite an issue now, both here in North Dakota, about equal treatment for tribal members, as well as in the inner cities.
Mm-hmm. It seemed to me that she was also bringing forth her experience frequently. When I was Secretary of State, when I was a senator, early on she made sure to establish this particular experience that she thought was important. Did you pick that up as well?
I didn't, but now that you say that, I think you're perhaps more perspective than I, more retrospective on this than I am, Lori.
And then, of course, on the flip side, you have Donald Trump, who's sort of using that, I think he said politician and career politician, I'm not sure quite how he phrased it. But he was unafraid to go there with her experience because he said he's trying to use it against her.
Right. Part of his message seemed to be that your experience is bad experience, and he gave that a voice a couple times later in the debate.
What are the standout moments in this debate that sort of will be the sound bites moving forward? Did you find any that you thought were particularly memorable moments?
Well, there were many. I'm not sure I can recite all of them, and I didn't write down the quotes, but I think many of the claims that Donald Trump was making as a counter strategy to Hillary Clinton's attack on her, mm-hmm. on him. I think another set is that Hillary looked calm. You know, she didn't have a resting frown, and she didn't sit there with a resting frown, and I think that that's a gender inequity that we have in our society, that we expect women to smile and look pretty, and she looked fine, and I think that was a memorable moment that was part of her win, mm-hmm. is she didn't look like she was angry.
I'll remember the moment that they talked about preparation. There was highly rehearsed moment. You could tell that she had, I thought that she had certainly practiced that he was going to say something about her staying home and preparing for the debate. And she sort of came back and said, yes, I prepared for it. And I've also prepared to be president. And I think I'll remember that one for a while. The crowd reacted to that, even though they weren't supposed to.
You know, I think it was interesting that the moderator spoke to the crowd. I think it was before I watched on PBS, but I was sort of flipping channels beforehand, and I was on another network, and they showed what the pre-preparation work was, and he spoke to the crowd, essentially asking them to be quiet, and he said, that's an agreement we're going to make. I'm not sure I like that as a member, because I'd like to see how people would respond. On the other hand, you know that many of the people that were there have already made up their mind and aren't about to change their mind.
Well, let's talk about Lester Holt then, and how do you think he did as a moderator, sort of setting this up and managing the flow of conversation?
Well, I'm not, this is terrible to say, I don't know that you could manage a conversation with Donald Trump. And he did try to interject, but I noticed on some of the reports that were occurring online last night and today that his rate of interruption of Mrs. Clinton was probably 5-1, the amount of times that he interrupted her, the times that he kept going even over the moderator's attempt to get him either on the question or to get him to respond to the issue that he had brought up or
Sure. Does she risk by sort of allowing him that interruption and allowing him going forward, does she risk looking like she is not strong enough? And if she interrupts him, does she risk looking like...
I think you've really identified the dilemma that any woman candidate has in America, and that is if you're too strong, then you're going to be labeled with the B word. And if you're not directive enough, you're probably perceived as being weak. From my perspective, I thought she did a fine job balancing those with a couple interruptions and a couple times that she talked over him and a couple times that she talked over the moderator, but not nearly as long as Mr. Trump did.
Does he have a challenge in being the first candidate to have to debate a female presidential candidate? Because if he interrupts her too much, he looks like a bully. And if he doesn't interrupt her enough or doesn't stand toe-to-toe with her, he looks like he's being sort of dominated by a female. Does he have a challenging position here, too?
Well, I did think as I was watching this, some of the wrestling where the state high school athletic commissions have allowed young women to wrestle, and how do you do that? You can't be too powerful and too dominating for the very reasons that you said, and if you lose, you lose big.
Right.
And I think it's a real dilemma for both of them, although it didn't appear to me that Mr. Trump was too worried about being too dominating.
Did he rally his base? Do you think that he did what he needed to do for Republican voters to feel good moving forward?
I think he gave them what they wanted to hear. I don't think that he did much for independent voters. Mm. I think his performance probably helped solidify those perhaps drifting away, those who may have supported Bernie Sanders and were wondering whether they should support Hillary Clinton for president or stay home. And I think that's another part of what I suspect was a deliberate strategy, was to bait Donald Trump and to get him to be Donald Trump. And he succeeded.
And he succeeded. So this feels like a win for Clinton for you overall from a debate perspective?
I think so. And unfortunately, I probably read what many people would call the liberal media. And I think even the more neutral sites would also have labeled it as a win for Hillary Clinton.
So he needs to, and she needs to go into more campaigning and preparing for the next conversation. What do they need to do going forward?
Well, I think there's even a question that some have raised, the question of whether Mr. Trump will participate in a second debate, but I think he will. But I just saw that flash across on one social media I was tuning into. I think they're going to have to continue to try to rally their base and to speak. I hope, this is Mike Card speaking, I hope they'll speak about the future and to give a more positive view. I heard the word dystopian view of the future used with respect to Mr. Trump, and I don't know that it's really dystopian, but it's not a particularly pleasant view of what the future would be like if we continue on. But I think that's also his message, that Hillary Clinton would be more of the same, and that's not a view he would claim that America wants. On the other hand, I think Mrs. Clinton is painting a picture of the future that's very different than the one that Donald Trump is painting, and would argue that that's the view that she wants her followers to get out and vote.
I had a friend who texted me after the debate and said Donald Trump's strongest point was that Hillary Clinton is a career politician. Hillary Clinton's strongest point was that she's a career politician. So I thought that was not a bad way to sum it up. Michael Card, thank you so much for joining us today with a little bit of insight. We hope you'll come back after the next debates and keep us posted.
It was a pleasure to be with you today, Laurie.